Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Dallas Stevens.
All right, welcome, church. My name is Dallas. You guys can be seated just for a moment. My name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. Just so excited you joined us. I'm going to go ahead and call.
All right, well, as the kiddos are making their way back to their seats, just if you're a guest with us today, I just want to say, so glad you're here. So glad that you decided to worship with us today. Like I said, my name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. Our lead pastor, Matt, is not here today. It was his birthday weekend, so he's out doing birthday weekend things. And so we just pray a blessing over him that he would have a good time and not feel too terribly old. But a little bit old, but not too terribly old. But that he would be refreshed and that the Lord would just pour into him this weekend. I want to take a second and pray over your finances. As I said earlier, there's a lot of ways that we can worship the Lord, and we really we try not to just focus on work and worship through singing, but also worship through the Word as we're about to, and also worship through our giving. And so let me pray over your finances, Father. We just bless you this morning. I'm so glad we can encounter you today here in this place. With all your people, hanging out with your people today. We thank you, Lord, for the awesome time of worship through song that we had. And we're going to have an awesome time of worship in the Word. But Lord, we just take this time to prepare our hearts as we begin to give, Lord Jesus, and worship through our giving. Lord, we just pray a blessing over everyone's finances here. Pray that that you would multiply the things that that they're doing, Lord, and also pray the Lord that you would help us to learn about what it means to give and what your commandments are to give, and so we would be able to follow those things. But we pray that you would for those that are have businesses, Lord, we pray that you would prosper those businesses, Lord, that they would be able to provide for their families, provide for the things that they need to do, but also, Lord, that they would be able to provide for your kingdom. Lord, we know that you don't need our money, but Lord, use the money that we give, Lord, to further the kingdom, and also, Lord, to teach us what it means to give and to worship through our giving. So we pray blessings on all those finances today, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. If you have an opportunity to give, and there's several ways. There's boxes out in the foyers. You can text to give. You can do it online. All the things, I think, they're up here on the screen. All right, well, let's get into it, you guys. As I said, Pastor Matt is not here, so, yeah, that's right, you get the B team, okay? So, here we go, right? Yeah, I know, right? B team, here we go. So, we've been in a series called Christianese 101. We've been talking about churchy words that you probably don't hear a lot in everyday conversations, but that have significant meaning in our faith, right? When Pastor Matt and I were discussing the series, I knew I was going to get to do one of the weeks in the series to close it out. And my word for the series was church words, because I thought that was cool, right? I think Pastor Matt decided to go with Christianese, because he's the boss, he gets to call the shots. So. But he's not here today. I'm in charge. So we're going to change the title of the series to church words. Okay. All right, so we've been talking about these words that sound fancy, and honestly, we probably only ever hear them in faith context or in church context, right? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Matt taught on atonement, and then last week, he taught on incarnation. Atonement, 3 syllables, right? Incarnation, 4 syllables. Today, we have 5 syllables. That's right, big time church words today. But I don't want to get ahead of myself, though, so let's talk about just quickly atonement and incarnation, just to kind of remember where we were, so we kind of move on with where we're going today. There's definitely these words are definitely churchy. I don't remember being at a restaurant and asking anyone, my server, about what they feel about the ways of atonement, right? Anyone ever done that? No, because that'd be weird, right? That'd be kind of weird. Maybe if it comes up in conversation, okay, sure, let's do that. But it's not often that we're going to do that, just bring up these words. I don't remember being out playing pickleball, talking about incarnational living very often. But really, when we look deeper at these words, they do, they really are foundational truths to our beliefs. So just a quick pitch, if you did miss any of those last two sermons that Pastor Matt spoke on atonement and incarnation, I really want to encourage you to go check those out on our YouTube page or on our new website, thewaylbk.com. Go check those out because they were fire. They were really, really good. Go check them out. So, okay. Said all the things to start, get the intro out of the way. Are you guys ready? Everybody take a deep breath. Everybody got your steel toe boots on? Okay, so I got the hard one. So it's probably going to be a tough one. It's going to be hard, a little hard to teach, maybe tough to hear, tough to receive. But what do we normally say about hard? Sometimes hard is not bad. Sometimes hard is just hard. Okay? As we're becoming mature followers of the way of Jesus, these are the things we submit ourselves to. We submit ourselves to hard things. We have a saying in our house. It's really, really simple. It says, "We do hard things," and we've put that in our kids' heads since they were little. And we do hard things because I'm sure, as many of you guys have experienced in life already, hard things are going to happen. Right? They're going to come, and we do hard things. I want to encourage you. You're welcome to steal that, to use it. You don't even have to pay royalties on it. All right. Okay, so these are the things we submit ourselves to. So if you got any hate mail that wants to come my way, send it to Matt at thewaylbk.com. That's his email address. But seriously, if you do want to consider, if you're interested in continuing this conversation after the things we talk about today, because certainly you can't talk about the word we're going to talk about in 25 minutes and be done with it, right? If you want to continue that conversation, I would love it if you would buy me a cup of coffee. Or a beer. Wait, can I say that? I don't know what you were thinking, but I was talking about root beer. Okay. All right, so anyway, let's do this. Let's open up the Word. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. It says, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, 'You must be holy because I am holy.'" So, simple question is, how are you doing at being holy? Any takers? Anybody holy out there? Man, this is going to be fun. So, if he says, in verse 16, it says, "For the scriptures say, you must be holy, for I am holy." So what's happening is that they were doing a throwback to Leviticus and the law where it says, where God says, "I am holy, so you must be holy." So, what you may or may not know is if you are a follower of Jesus, then in at least one way, you are already holy. Let that sink in for just a second. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you are already holy. But let's talk some more about that. So, fancy church word of the day, sanctification. Sanctification, 5 syllables. Okay. It comes from the Greek word. It's not going to be up there, but in case you guys are Bible study tool nerds, it comes from the Greek word, root word of hagias, which is holy. It is the word hagiosmos. What does this word sanctification mean? It means holy, consecrated, and set apart. Let's look at Romans 12:1-2. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So looking to the Old Testament, we see the idea of being called to be holy, consecrated, and set apart. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, this was done by what? By the shedding of blood, right? There were animal sacrifices that had to be made for all the things. So much so that it was basically impossible to keep all the law, to do all the sacrifices, to do all the things right, to atone, throwback to 2 weeks ago, to atone for our sins, right? But in the new covenant, that is, since Jesus came, Jesus was that sacrifice. And Jesus died so we could be living sacrifices, that we could have the opportunity to be holy, to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be those living sacrifices. So again, I'm going to ask you, how are you doing at being holy? Excellent answer. Excellent answer. It seems a little arrogant, right? It's just to be like, I am holy because of Jesus. I am holy. Now, likely we have in this room, in a room like this with 100, 120 people or so, we probably have people at all stages of being holy, being sanctified, okay? We probably have some new believers who are just on their journey to being, to following their faith with Jesus. And we have some saints that have been around for quite a while that have been following Jesus for many, many years. And so there's going to be a lot of different marks in there. Along the road to that. So I want to look at Leviticus 20, 7 through 8. It says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. All right, so that was from the law, but it still holds true, right? We are sanctified by Jesus. He came and fulfilled the law. We don't have to keep all those laws anymore. We don't have to go sacrifice cows or chickens or whatever, or doves, or whatever was asked for in the Old Testament. Jesus was that sacrifice for us so that we can have the opportunity to be holy. If you've read any of the Old Testament, you'll notice that it is basically this cycle of the children of God following God. Yay! God, you're the best! And then disobedience. And then following God, and then disobedience. And, you know, it's like, God, you are our God. You are the man. And then 10 seconds later, hey, guys, bring us all your gold. We're going to make a cow that we're going to worship, okay? And then 10 seconds later, man, we're so sorry about that. That was whack. We love you, God. You're the best. It's this cycle, right? And so all through the Old Testament, you see that. They were consistently coming to God and then failing, coming to God and then failing. Does that sound familiar? I don't know about you. It does to me. It sounds familiar to me because I know that I've kind of fallen into some patterns like that in my life before where I'm like, man, Lord, I love you so much and I want to do right. And I find myself falling into old patterns and old ways. So that's where sanctification comes in. So quickly, you want to talk about two kinds of sanctification, all right? There's this thing called positional sanctification. It feels like kind of a college class a little bit, these big words, right? Lots of big words, fancy church words. Positional sanctification is a one-time work of the Holy Spirit that happens when we become followers of Jesus. We're sanctified by the grace of God through our faith in Him, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what Jesus has done by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We are made right at that instant. We're made right. We're made holy. We are sanctified. We're set apart. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So in that one moment, we are sanctified. We go from being dead in sin over here to being alive in Christ over here in that instant. We go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. We go from being janky and busted to being holy and complete. We go from being a sinner to being a saint. We go from deserving wrath to being children of God. That is what positional sanctification is. But as we mature in our faith, a true disciple desires to be more like their teacher, right? You desire to be more like the one who's discipling you. You desire to be more like the one who's showing you the ropes, if you will. This is where the word practical sanctification comes in. Practical sanctification is an ongoing and gradual work of the Holy Spirit in and through us that depends on the power of the Holy Spirit continually working on us. Say that with me, continually working on us. Continually working on us. You guys aren't following me. Continually working on us. All right, good. Even as we do our part and submit our desires and our will to His will. This kind of sanctification begins at salvation when we become a follower of Jesus and ends, when does it end? At death. When we become complete and we get to go see Jesus and we become finally sanctified. A third kind of sanctification. I want to focus most of our time today on practical sanctification. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. And this is kind of long, so bear with me. Verse 19 through 25. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All right, so I think I told you we're going to be talking about how, and if I didn't, I'm doing it now, how do we get out of those cycles of sin and disobedience? How do we become, how do we get on that journey of being practically sanctified, going from what we started out as, and as we go over our lives? This scripture gives us all the keys. So, going to leave it up there if you don't mind, Abby. I'm just kind of going to go through this a little bit. Actually, don't. Follow the slides. Sorry. In verse 19, it says, we have this confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Okay, so first off, we start out with, why do we have this confidence? Because why? Because we've been sanctified from the beginning. Our positional sanctification, God made us holy. We are holy, right? So we have this confidence that we can do what we're about to talk about. The confidence points back to our position. So that's 19. In verse 22, it says, let us draw near. What does that mean? What does that mean to you when it says, let us draw near? That's right. We're going to lean into God. We're going to put our faith in the things of God. We're going to turn away from sin, or the things that cause you to sin. In James, we learn that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. He literally will honor the effort that we put in to drawing near to Him, just like we were talking about in that song a second ago. As sometimes we just got to hang on, and we just got to, sometimes we just got to take inches at a time. Like, there's God over there. I'm like, I'm doing my best, Lord. I'm working hard at it. And I promise you, the scripture says if you will draw near to Him, that He will draw near to you. If you're working on that journey, He's going to honor that commitment to you. If we, it says he's going to meet us where we are. Just an encouragement to all you out there, and an encouragement to myself. Just remember that temptation is not sin. All right? Temptation is not sin. Sin is sin. But being tempted to sin, not sin. It gives you an opportunity to turn away. Yet sometimes we got to make that choice. For you, what is that? Is it anger, bitterness? What is that thing that you got to turn from? I'm confident that the Holy Spirit may be bringing some things up to you right now that maybe He's wanting you to lay over to Him as we draw near. In 23, it says, "Let us hold fast." To me, that means we got to do our part. We got to put in the work. I remember when I was a younger Christian, just thinking that the power of the Holy Spirit was just going to whoop and just going to fix me. You ever thought that? I know I have. I was hoping that positional sanctification would just kind of fix me and make all the bad thoughts go away, all the times when I was not kind, or when I didn't have a good word to say, or when I was prideful or arrogant. I was just expecting the Lord just to be like, fix all that. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not how it works. He will meet you where you are, but you got to work on it yourself. The power of His Holy Spirit will help you as you are on that road. We got to do our part. We got to focus our eyes on Jesus because He's faithful, and not focus on not sinning. Does that make sense? All right, so how many of you guys ever played disc golf? Or golf? All right, well, this is the story. The last time I played disc golf, I was out at McKenzie Park, and I was coming. There's a few holes in a row that are alongside the river. And there's a bunch of these tall, like 8-10 feet cattails all along the river. And these holes are very, very straight. And so I get my disc, and I'm about to drive, and I throw my frisbee. And the whole time I'm throwing my frisbee, I'm thinking, don't throw it in the river, don't throw it in the river, don't throw it in the river, don't throw it in the river. What happens? It goes in the river, right? Because that was my focus. And I'm like, what am I doing? There's $25. So I take, it was of my brand new driver, and so I'm like, well, I'll get my other good, my really, really good driver, and let's do it again. I'm getting ready to drive. I'm like, well, maybe I'll do a backhand drive instead of a forehand drive this time. It won't go in the river. Don't go in the river. Don't go in the river. Don't throw in the river. Boom, I let it go. Kersplash. There's $25. And one more time, right? Got to give one more try. I have one more driver. And then, what do you think happens? Not good, right? $25 down the drain. Because I was focused on doing what? Not throwing it in the river. Because that was my focus. It also may have been that I'm just a bad disc golfer. So it's very, very possible. But it works really well for this analogy, if you follow me and expect that I'm a good disc golfer. So, but really, when we focus on Jesus instead of focusing on not sinning, I promise it's going to work out better. Just focus your affection on Jesus and go towards Him. All right, finally, in verse 24, it says, we want to stir up one another. Look, following Jesus was never meant to be a solo thing, right? We hear people talking about my faith, and I get that, that's important. And I do my thing, and me and my Jesus over here in our little corner, and we got our little thing going, and we're tight, me and Jesus. But that's never the way that the walk of faith was ever meant to be. We're supposed to do that in community with one another. As you guys are doing this one good. Okay, you got it down right. We are supposed to be in community with each other. We're supposed to be doing all this together. We're supposed to be spurring one another on, encouraging one another, helping one another do the things, holding each other accountable, in love, right? Do it in love. Being willing to be held accountable. You guys, be kind to me when you hold me accountable. Do it in love. And show up, right? Show up to church. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are here, right? Show up to the things that matter in people's lives and the opportunities to gather together as the community of faith. Show up in those things. So as I close out, I just want to remind you of a couple things. That first off, if you have chosen to follow Jesus, you are set apart. You are sanctified. You are holy. Period. Okay? But also, as a maturing follower of Jesus, it is our duty to be continually on the road to letting the Holy Spirit work in us. You are being set apart. You are set apart, and at the very, very same time, it's hard to wrap your mind around it, right? At the very, very same time, you are being set apart. By the power of the Holy Spirit, when we do our parts, He does His part. When we take those steps, those little steps, and heck, on a good day, maybe it is a big step, but when we take our steps toward Jesus, when we draw near to Him, He's going to draw near to us. Let me pray over us. Father, we look to you this morning so excited that we've gathered together and worshiped through the breaking together, the breaking apart of your word, through our giving, through hanging out with your people, through our songs. Lord, I know that all of us here are grateful for those of us that follow you, that we are holy from the beginning with you. But Lord, sometimes it's hard for us to work on the being holy part. We are being made holy. So we ask that you would just give us opportunities to work on that, Lord, that we would be obedient in doing those things. Lord, that we would set our eyes on you, set our affection on you. And not think about the things of the world that drag us down. That we would set our heart on you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you would continue this time in our hearts, Lord, as we are moving towards you. Lord, that you would do what you promised and you would move towards us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.